I greet you all once again in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are going to consider Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27, as Brother Joey earlier read. So let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27, on the topic, Faithful Till Christ Comes. Jesus, in his short ministry, often spoke in parables. There are close to 40 parables recorded for us in the scriptures. And one of them we are considering today is often called the parable of pawns, or mina, parable of pawns. So what are parables? Parables are stories which are made of daily activities, very familiar to the people, easily recognizable, and shared to bring out one or two spiritual truths that is in Jesus' mind. The Greek word parabole, it simply means putting, casting out something in parallel to make us understand a unfamiliar or not so easily understandable spiritual truth. So you bring an illustration, so-called, bring it next to that spiritual truth that Jesus is trying to explain, so that simple people like us, weak people like us, can grasp that heavenly truth. And Jesus said many parables in the Bible. And at the beginning of, before we consider Luke chapter 19, we must remove a potential confusion that can sometimes happen. There are two parables in the Bible that are similar in nature, which has a similar theme or objective. One is called the parable of talents, the other one is called the parable of pawns. But both of them are different. One is in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus gives a series of parables, all reminding about the end times that is happening in Jerusalem. The location is different. And there the parable of talents is told, but it has the same theme like the parable of pawns. But here the location is different. It is not in Jerusalem. It is actually in Jericho. And the incident that just happened before this is the incident or the story of Jesus meeting Zacchaeus and giving him the wonderful message of salvation and Zacchaeus coming to know the Lord. And Jesus is going to enter Jerusalem. And the people had this wrong notion that Jesus is going to be the king. Enter as the king. And Jesus wanted, through this parable, to correct this potential confusion that they had in mind, their minds. That my entry to Jerusalem is not as a king, but it is to become your savior. And that's why we are told in our scriptures, to correct this wrong notion, Jesus gives this parable. And Jesus let's read that particular verse in Luke chapter 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. But Jesus is saying, no, there is a wait. There is not a passive waiting, but an active, engaging waiting before I come as the king. But first, I have come for a purpose. And that purpose is already declared to Zacchaeus. In just 2 verses before that, Jesus said unto him, Zacchaeus, this day salvation has come to your house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Why the Son of Man has come? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus knew his mission on earth. Jesus knew the only begotten Son of the eternal Son of our Lord, eternal Son, knew his mission on earth. The Son of Man has come to save and to seek that which was lost. And nothing can change God's mission and plan to die on the Calvary cross for our sins. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And God's eternal plan is going to be accomplished soon. But the second truth, which is what the disciples knew from the scriptures, is also true, that Jesus is one day going to come as the king, but not now. And so this parable, just like what I shared earlier, parables are like illustration or giving a familiar, recognizable story, casting in front of an unfamiliar spiritual truth to bring one or two main moral lessons or objectives or truths, spiritual truths in the case of parables. And so what are the truths that are being told from this parable? First, we are told the truth of Christ's soon return. The fact that the same Lord Jesus Christ, who has ascended to heaven, one day will be going to come. Well, the New Life BP Church London has made my sermon very easy, because the first point is written on the walls here. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. Christ is going to soon return. And that is what we are told in verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain noble man went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And in this parable, the noble man is none other than our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. The country that he went is heaven, and with his kingdom he is going to return. And that's what we are told in even earlier on in John chapter 14. We are told, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house have many mansions, and if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you will be also. Christ went after uttering the word, it is finished, his work on this earth is finished, has ascended up to heaven to prepare a place for us. And he will return. And he will return. And this truth has been told to the disciples many times. But his first reason why he came to this earth was not to overthrow the Roman emperor, was not to bring civil inequalities, or to remove poverty from the earth and to justly rule the world. He first came to save. because that was the greatest need of man, the forgiveness. And God sent in Jesus Christ a Savior. But the second time when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again, He will not be to suffer, but it will be to rule. And the scripture is very clear that this promise of Jesus Christ will be fulfilled. What a wonderful day that will be. When our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords, will return back to rule this earth. There is a certainty, and in the manner that will return. The same disciples that is given in Luke chapter 19 who were confused that He is entering the Jerusalem were further confused when Jesus died on the cross. They were not sure what is happening on. But then the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them and called them again, like Peter, come follow me, be the fishers of men. Feed my sheep, He told the John. And all of them gathered together in Acts chapter 1. And Jesus gave them a call. Be my witnesses. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. The gospel message that the Son of God came down to save and to seek that which was lost is entrusted to this disciple to spread around. And after that, the nobleman in our parable went away. Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven. And what were the disciples doing? They were all gazing up. Jesus gone? And the angel came down and gave the word, this same very Jesus will return. The same Jesus that has ascended is going to come back again. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. Acts 11, the disciples are told, the nobleman going and he is going to return. And when we read throughout the scriptures, we are again and again told this same wonderful truth. The book of Revelation is full of it. But let me just quote two passages from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, at the very beginning, verse 7. Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see, even those who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, Amen. And the very last words of the Bible, Revelation 22:19-21, where we are told not to take anything away from the book of God, and the call that every believer ought to testify and to proclaim in the heart and desire in the heart. He which testifies this thing, surely I come quickly. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The nobleman has gone, he's going to come. But we don't know what time he will come. The Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear, the scripture made it very clear, the day in Matthew chapter 24 verse 36-39, that but of that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So will the coming of Son of Man be. Jesus saying that. And 1 Thessalonians 5:2-6. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Let us not be asleep as others do, but let us watch and be sower. We are not told when Jesus will come, but one thing is sure. The world may turn up and down, political parties may come and go, we may be alive, we may not be alive, but one day for sure, this truth of God's word will be fulfilled. Just like all the other scriptures are fulfilled. And our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the kings and the Lord of the lords, will return. You know, when He returns, you know, we are told one more verse from Revelation 19 and verse 11 and verse 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, the King of the kings and the Lord of the lords. The ultimate sovereign ruler to judge the nation and to begin his earthly reign will return. You know, Philippians 2, 9 to 11. You know, Jesus said, every knee shall go, every knee shall bow, as those in heaven and those on earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the first fact, this parable teaches us, Jesus came to save and to seek that which was lost. There is a waiting period, not a passive waiting, but an active waiting period before Jesus will return. The second fact that we are told, during this time of waiting, God has given us a something for us to be actively engaged in. And we are told in this parable that there were 10 servants and they were given 10 pounds. So by logic it will be like 1 pound per servant. And each were given uniformly for this parable in the same measure. And what was given? We know every good, James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So what is this pound represent? Everything that is good and perfect God has given to us is represented in the thing that is defined as the pound. It includes at the core the gospel at its center. Jesus has given us life eternal, salvation, the spiritual truth, spiritual life. It also includes the general providence of God. It includes life, it includes time, it includes resources, it includes natural talents and gifts. We all are gifted naturally with some gifts and talents. We are also gifted with spiritual gifts and talents. Not everybody has the same spiritual gifts. God has given all of us different spiritual gifts and different callings. We are called to do different things. We are the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God in His grace and mercy has distributed this to all of us. And this palm that God has given to us, we are told, we are to occupy till Christ comes. In verse 18 we are told, occupy, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. We have to put this money until the nobleman or our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. We see three different types of people here. And three reactions to the same command or to the same person, the nobleman. When the command is given, occupy till I come, the word that is used in Greek has a paragotumia, which is from where we get the word pragmatic. That means make it work. See what works and use it in some positive way. See it in some profitable way. And get it engaged. Use it. Don't store it. But use it. See whatever works and get it done. That is the understanding when Jesus said, occupy. It was not about occupying a pew or occupy just being there, but rather being engaged. But we find the first reaction in verse 14 towards the nobleman. And these are the foes, the enemies. And they said in verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. These were the people who were anti-Christ, who were against everything that Christ's teachings, Christ's truths represented. They wanted to totally oppose it. It is a outright rejection of Christ's kingship. The citizens hated him and opposed his rule. Enemies who were even against those who had the pound. They were even against the servants in that sense. They have nothing to do with Christ and his kingdom. The second group that is represented here is the group that we find in verse 20. Verse 20, and another came and saying, Lord, behold, here is which thy pound, which I kept and laid up in a napkin. So this servant understood what was commanded, but he did a passive waiting. He didn't use what God gave to him. He had understood what was said, but he didn't have a connection and a relationship with the nobleman. He just took it as mere words. He didn't take the nobleman seriously. He didn't understand who the nobleman truly is. He had all his own made up, conceived ideas about who the nobleman is. He buried the talent. Just imagine, you are an aspiring musician. You are given a very precious and expensive violin. But instead of the violin that is gifted to you, and you are an aspiring musician, instead of making music, you go and bury it for 10 years. And later when the gifter came and asked about that expensive music instrument, you say you kept it safe. That is kind of the picture that is given to us. The pound was given to produce, just like the violin is given to make music, to bring cheer to others. Pound was given for a purpose. But he hid it away. He said he was afraid of the master. And that's why he hid it away. All his own room. And the third group that we find, who responded rightly, is the faithful. And they say, your pound has earned. Verse 16 and 18, we find about the faithful. Verse 16, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And verse 18, and the second came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And these are the faithful who took greater responsibility. They took the Jesus word seriously. They trusted the master and they knew the master meant business, and they got to be trustworthy. Please remember, I mean, when we consider this, and remember what Jesus said earlier, or in the parable what he said, occupy till I come. Jesus never promised them any rewards. Jesus said, in the parable, occupy till I come, and I will give you reward. The reward was not the motivation for them. The relationship with the nobleman, and taking his command seriously, and to experience his presence, was their joy. They were not looking for a reward, they were looking for the presence of that nobleman. And all these three people were dealt according to their faithfulness or unfaithfulness. To the group that did not want him to reign over us, their end is written in verse 27. Verse 27, but those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. A day of reckoning is coming for all the people, and that includes all those who profess to be, even calling Jesus Lord, Lord, but doing things that are against the Lord. A day of reckoning is coming to them. You know, the hellfire, you know, is prepared for them. Bring them hither to me and kill them in front of me. They will be judged eternally. They will be judged eternally. All those who are against Christ and His kingdom will have no part in the coming reign of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to the servant who hid the talent, we find the response in verse 22 to 24. For I fear thee, because thou art an assured man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto them, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest not that I was an assured man, picking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my money out with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. We are not told in this passage, or in this parable at least, what was the condemnation given to this man. He was taken out of the privileges, the responsibility, and what was given was taken from him. But his theology was completely wrong. He took the nobleman who generously trusted and gave responsibility. He called him a person who is very difficult, a hard boss. And he feared him. But actually his action showed he didn't fear him. He was strict and ungracious was his charge. But we know our God was very gracious and very kind to us, throughout history, to all his children. And it was a wrong representation of who he painted God to be, or who he painted the nobleman to be. So what was taken away from him? Opportunity, privilege, position. He was stripped of everything, and he kind of became a nobody in this parable. But we go to the parable that is given in the Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. there the condemnation is clearly written, how it is he is judged. We are told in the Bible, say for 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad." And that is what is written in this kind of scripture here, that is written on this wall. To give every man according as his work shall be. So between this point and this point is the waiting period, the active waiting period, or to occupy till Christ comes. And the third servant who didn't do anything with the pound is a reminder. He called the nobleman Lord. Not everybody who says Lord will enter the kingdom of God. There will be many who will say Lord, Lord, and did things in the appearance that was doing to God, but they were self-serving. And they were judged. Just like this the servant. Because they wasted the truth, the gospel, the time, the opportunities, the resources, not for the extension of God's kingdom, but the extension of their own throne, extension of their own kingdom. There are many churches that do that. Scripture is a reminder that how we ought to follow the truth of the scriptures and do what is right. Just like the other two servants in out of the two examples that are given to us in verse 16. "And then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto them, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. A point to take note. God didn't immediately told the second servant who came, you had 5 pounds, why you never had 10 pounds? God understands our limitations or our challenges. But what God wants from us is still faithfulness. Not every tree may bear the same amount of fruit. But still, He wants us to be a fruit-bearing Christian. And both these servants were able to demonstrate that they did occupy till the nobleman comes. It was, they used spiritual opportunities. They used spiritual gifts. They used spiritual privileges and put it to use. They used their natural gifts and abilities to extend the kingdom of God. They used the gospel and be good witnesses through their lips, through their life, through their sharing of, through their evangelistic sharing, and they were obedient to Christ. They redeemed the time for the days were evil, and they looked forward to the nobleman's visit and return. So what can we learn from today's parable? First, we must be right with God. We must not be counted in the group of those who are foes and enemies. We must not reject Christ and its truth. Christ loved us so much. He gave Himself for us. We must embrace Christ and not reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must be faithful, because temptations to remain unfaithful or to reject Christ and His command and to go our own way is always there. But we must be remain faithful to God. He live in imminent expectation of Christ's return. He can return today, tonight. He can return any other day. Live in imminent expectation, but do not fear, because we are secured in Christ. Don't let the delay of Jesus Christ lead to spiritual complacency, but be watchful and sober. Be like the wise virgins, like the another parable that is given. Five were wise, five were foolish. And when the master came, five were waiting, they were occupied. They were letting the light glow. But five forgot about the oil in their lamp and were not waiting. It reminds us to think about God every day, to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ through His Word, in prayer, come close to Him. What does this passage teach us? It teaches us to identify what are your talents, what are your gifts, what are the resources, the blessing, the time that God has given to us. And ask yourself, how I can, as a child of God, put to profitable use. There are many ways you can serve in the church. There are many small things, big things that you can do for the Lord, in the house of the Lord, and also at your home, also at your workplace. Occupy, you know, cheer somebody. Share a verse from the scriptures. You know, embrace the risk over safety, you know, in service. When we serve God, when we use what God has given to us, there are challenges, there are difficulties, there are problems. Things may go well, things may not go well. It looks safer not to do anything. But investing, or what trading, what was sold in this scripture here, or passage here, is what God wants us to engage in. Take the risk for Jesus. Get engaged. It is telling us to don't let fear or intimidation or what people say, the false accusations, or what people may think about you, hinder you. Or your own difficulties in not doing it to the best that you may think of, hinder you from serving the Lord, doing what God wants from you, and develop the right theology of God. The third servant had a wrong concept of who God is. But the faithful servants had the right concept. They say to the nobleman, "Thy pound has multiplied to 10 pounds. They didn't say my pound. What God has given to you doesn't belong to you. We may own multiple houses, much finances in the bank. We may be very gifted, may own so many things, but that still belongs as a gift of God to you. Use it until He come, you know, and stabilize your heart, strengthen yourself, anticipate for the coming of God. And when we are looking forward, as I said, do not fear, and do not even look for rewards, but look for the presence of God. It doesn't matter what the Lord gives to us, how much He determines, but what is important is, so that where I am, there you will be also. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and look to Christ and aim to be in his presence as close as possible, not looking for how many treasures you get, but just be faithful unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So with these words I exhort, and may God grant us all the grace to anchor our souls in Christ and to look to Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we once again praise you and thank you for reminding us through this parable that the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent, and one day surely our Lord Jesus Christ will come again, and we your children say, even so, Lord Jesus, come. And as you have reminded us in this waiting period to be active, to be serving, to be doing your work, to occupy till Christ comes, may you help each one of us to do what you have entrusted us, to the glory of God and to the glory of our Almighty God and the Son Jesus Christ. We pray that you will bless our fellowship later. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.